Tradition, confrontation, response. Tradition, confrontation, response. Jesus greets us today in a divine, heavenly voice, which we hear in our own experience. His, this voice, arises in the Gospel according to St. Mark in three modes. We shall trace their emergence in our hearing and attempt to apply them to our spiritual benefit, to our salvation, that is. First, notice the lingering power of tradition, not traditionalism, but the forms of inherited tradition. The new, the dominical voice whistles through the willow branches of tradition. Strangely, paradoxically, mysteriously, Jesus' voice, utterly new, addresses us out of the old. Said Yaroslav Pelikan, tradition is the living faith of dead people, but traditionalism is the dead faith of living people. But tradition is the living faith of dead people. Jesus speaks. When does he speak? On the Sabbath. Where does he speak? In the synagogue. How does he speak? As a teacher. All three of these aspects of his speaking are named for us, though we might have inferred two of the three from just the mention of one or another, for they go together. Holy time, holy space, holy words. Holy time, holy space, holy words. The gospel means to emphasize by repetition. There is, at the outset, a regard, a lingering respect for what has been, for what one inherits, for tradition, though not traditionalism. And the Sabbath is the occasion, and the synagogue is the setting, and the role of teacher frames the message, a time of rest and refreshment. Sabbath here receives Jesus' blessing, at least in the manner of his recognition and participation. Sunday can be a time of Sabbath rest, a time for sleep, for recovery, for reading, for gathering. We are a sleep-deprived people, somnambulant in a sleep-deprived culture. So a traditional occasion, a time for retreat and renewal, can feed us if we let it. There are none so weary as those who will not sleep. Following my sermons, as you know, some arise inspired and some awake refreshed. Some arise inspired and some awake refreshed, and both are good outcomes. Likewise, synagogue, a coming together, is a traditional form. It means gathering together. Blessed are the hosts, for they shall be called the cooks of God. When you have had a hand in gathering together a gathering together, you have brushed close to something good, something godly. The other Sunday, a cold one, I made the mistake of walking to worship without a hat. I put my hands over my ears, and I hurried on to come here, eager to see who would be with us in church, eager to hear a response from the listening congregation, eager to be nourished by the ministers of music, eager to be gathered into a warm, inviting, loving, embracing community. When it is cold enough, you can really appreciate a heated church home. But, and you guess here the coming homiletical turn already, I know, there is more than one kind of cold. Some is meteorological, and some is theological. And when it is relationally cold enough, you can really appreciate a gathering together. When someone finds a church family to love and a church home to enjoy, when gathering together occurs and holds, there is a holy moment. So too the role of the teacher, the preacher, the rabbi, a familiar role, a familiar social location. It is not in some exotic form that Jesus greets his hearers today. The form is familiar, the teacher. We may sometimes look too far, too wide for what we most want and need when nearby, familiarly so, our health awaits. Sabbath, synagogue, rabbi, tradition. Here, Jesus is more than willing to don the raiment of inheritance, to be harnessed by the yoke of tradition. Jeremiah recommended the old paths. Matthew prized every jot and tittle. And we hunger for those voices that will help us translate the tradition into insights for effective living. Some memories of college years for our students here will be connected, it may be, to the particular sound of our choir. Some recollections of exams passed or nearly passed will be held in earshot of a meal or a trip or a talk here. Some remembrances of things past, even of hard moments of loss and regret and disappointment, will have about them a shaft of light through stained glass, an echo of truth through scripture read, an admission of prayer needed and offered. Our gospel today, which announces Jesus' novel new voice, a voice like no other, notices the lingering power of tradition. It is in the midst of this house, this lineage, this inheritance, that Jesus speaks, not absent it. And his hearers are astonished. He is not confused in their hearing with their hearing of the scribes, his usual opponents in the flow of this gospel. But they know a different voice, a new voice, when they hear it. But we are not told bluntly what exactly made the voice so novel. This awaits our own hearing in our own living and in our own listening, perhaps just now. Like last week in the calling of the disciples, the two sets of brothers, we are told nothing there about what made them move, what caused their decision, what set them free. And this week, in the voice of teaching, we are told nothing about what made the sermon so good, only that it was good and new. Over time, we finally, all of us, decide what that kind of saving novelty sounds like. Jesus greets us in a new voice this day. And three aspects of his voice are announced today in the gospel according to St. Mark. We shall trace their emergence in our hearing and attempt to apply them to our spiritual benefit. So first, tradition. Second, notice, and how can you help it, the centrality of confrontation. Here there is an unclean spirit loose amid the holy time and place and role. The dominical voice calls out its nemesis, and we are straightway here in the realm of apocalyptic cosmic battle. Our worldview is not cosmic apocalyptic confrontation. We do not see convulsives as one demon of an unclean sort challenging another Jesus demon of an authoritative sort. We are late modern people, women and men who do not cry out in public unless we're at a sporting event or drinking heavily or about to call the police for some reason. Maybe in compensation, that is why sports and drinking and all become so central to us. Voice sometimes involves confrontation, not just pleasant courtesies of disagreement, but genuine squaring off. To your roommate, you finally say, "One of us is wrong, and I think it's you." To your boss, you finally say, "Look, do you want to do my work, or will you let me do it for you?" To your political economy, known, by the way, for good reason as capitalism, not laborism, because capital rules labor in capitalism, you finally say, "One way or another, my daughter needs a job." To a good friend, gently you say, you know, I'm sorry you feel that way. Goodbye for now. To your spouse, you say, you can have me or you can have him, but not both at the same time. Or you need to leave that job. And you can stay or you can stay married. You pick. To your warring world, finally, you shout out, my son is not your cannon fodder. One thing I truly admired about my dad was how easy he was around confrontation. A man would stand up and shout and carry on at a church meeting, walk out of worship the next day, or send a blistering handwritten hate note to the pastor. My dad would shrug and smile and say, I like to see him get so worked up. It's worth the price of admission just to see him so angry. Less naturally and more slowly, I too have learned to honor and receive anger. The Jesus of Mark 1 accosting the demonic would understand. Here Mark is starting his gospel with a confrontation. The verb here rendered be silent, so polite, actually means to muzzle, to be muzzled. Matthew begins his public gospel with the Sermon on the Mount. Luke begins his public gospel with the Sermon in Nazareth. John begins his public gospel with the wedding in Cana. But Mark, he begins with demons and with confrontation. When we get angry, we get in touch with something deep inside, something not necessarily at all related to what we think we are angry about. We're not so very far from the unclean spirit of Mark 1. We are complicated creatures, blessedly complicated creatures. You see and hear again the same in the recent film, Freud's Last Session, based on the earlier Broadway play. It includes an imagined conversation between Sigmund Freud, the great psychologist, and C.S. Lewis, the great apologist. Bombs are falling on London. Freud is suffering with mouth cancer. Lewis is struggling with his young man's sexuality. And through it all, the question of God. Freud and Lewis confront each other. They lock horns for 90 minutes of verbal combat. Each one memorizes and delivers the equivalent of two Sunday sermons. They square off and they argue. Good. Lewis. In pleasure, God whispers. In pain, God shouts. Freud. Just why are you living with your best friend's mother? Lewis. I got on my cycle, an atheist, and got off a believer all in one day. Freud. You might want to see somebody about that. Lewis. Faith is the most reasonable thing on earth. Freud, oh yes, such a good God. Bombs, death, disease, pain. Lewis, I will pray for you. Freud, you do that. Yet at the very end, though Freud has turned the radio off to mute the music it carries for much of the story, and of course Lewis, for once in good Freudian fashion, has asked why the good Dr. Freud cannot listen to the music and has given his spirited and spiritual analysis, still and yet, at the end and alone, dying in pain, the great psychoanalyst slowly turns up the music and Mozart rings out. There is no resolution. How could there be in 90 minutes? But there is confrontation that evokes something new, a new voice. Jesus greets us today in such a voice. Three aspects of his authority are announced today in the Gospel according to St. Mark. We trace their emergence in our hearing today and attempt to apply them to our spiritual benefit. So, second, confrontation. It takes the exorcising power, the new voice, finally, of love to move us. Third response. Notice the response. With authority, a new teaching, he commands even the demons obey. His fame spread throughout the North Country. It works. Whatever he said, whatever he taught, it helped somebody, and so was remembered. We just wish we knew what it was. What verse, what chapter, what story? Yet there is a quieter wisdom in the silence of Scripture here about the content of Jesus' sermon. For if we knew, we would be tempted just to repeat rather than to rehearse. We need to have the tradition in the moment of confrontation translated into insights for effective living, which, in response, we can use. That is authentic authority in the full. If we knew that he used the 100th Psalm, we would repeat it every Sunday. If we knew he preached on Jeremiah, we would invariably do so. If we knew he taught specific Proverbs, we would ignore the rest. No, there is a freedom in the silence of the gospel here, a freedom to live and love in newness of life, to respond. And Freud finally turned up the music. And you? Perhaps you are a Christian because the best people leading the best lives in your experience have been so. I know I respond to the freedom and love I see in other people of faith. Now, 65 generations after the exorcism in Capernaum and the response all across Galilee. In other lives, we have seen glimpses of what we could be and what we could do. If only we would straighten up and fly right. And some of those are lives in this room. And some are in memory. And some are out there waiting to be introduced. Don't kid yourself. Your example counts, matters, lasts, works. Tradition and confrontation evoke a response. The unclean spirit leaves, the congregation murmurs, the report goes forth. Someone taught you. A high school band director, a Latin teacher in college, a chemistry professor who lingered with you in the lab. Who? Nancy responded to her Latin teacher. Bill responded to his science teacher. Jane responded to her history teacher. Jill responded to her family matriarch. John responded to his theology professor. And as Carlisle Marnie said so many decades ago in gruff voice, "Who told you who you was? Who told you who you was?" Somehow, with four growing children and a preacher's meager salary, my parents managed to give all four of us piano lessons. My teacher was a farm wife, 20 years younger than her husband. The distance from the barn to the house, from the manger to the piano, was very short in both geographic and physical senses. I feel the warmth of both those spaces and of the tutelage today, even though those precious parsonage dollars were almost entirely wasted on me, to my regret. I can't play a scale after all those years of lessons, but I can appreciate the difficulty of what others do. And there was something more, something between Lewis and Freud in those afternoon lessons, which usually began with an honest question, "Did you practice?" and a less than fully honest response, "Some." You know, looking back to those growing up years, that was one of the few places and times, week by week, when I was in the sole presence of a non-parental adult, honest, trustworthy, kind, caring. Now where the farm was, there is an auto dealer and a pizza parlor. But the hay and the barn and the milking and the home, the warmth, the music, the teaching, the, may I call it friendship, live on. In her 40s, she died of cancer, 3 fine children, 1 great marriage, several years of crops and evenings and mornings of milking, and some less than stellar piano students later. And at her funeral, the minister, Paul Darnell, now of blessed memory himself, a BU graduate, preached this sermon. You are a song that God is singing. You are a song that God is singing. And you are too. And you are too. And you are too. The music is playing all around us and all through us, in our triumph and in our tragedy. We need to respond, to lean over, turn the dial, set the music free. The gospel according to St. Mark starts off with a new voice. When you are listening for a new voice, for a sense of reliable authority, then hunt around a healthy bit of lost tradition and for a courageous and cleansing moment of confrontation and for a real and personal public response. Sursum corda, lift up your hearts. Amen.